makes us step back and appreciate the songwriters and the music that they have put on paper so we can all consider whose world this truly is. This is my father's world. Reflecting on Gary's comment, also a happy Father's Day to the fathers here present this morning as well. The epistle text for this Sunday kind of ties into Father's Day. It talks about Abraham. Think of the father of faith, the one to whom so many attribute their religions to. Judaism, Islam, and Christianity all have a tie back into Abraham, Father Abraham. Sing the song in Sunday school, Father Abraham and Many Sons. I can remember that from years ago. And the text is found in Galatians chapter 3, talking about the Galatians so easily giving it up, going back into legalism rather than to continue on in faith, and the chastisement, I guess you could say, that Paul was preaching to them. Correction, admonishment might be a better word. Chapter 3 in Galatians, verses 1 through 14 is the epistle text for this Sunday, oftentimes used also in the month of Reformation, October, from Galatians as well. Chapter 3, verse 1, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified? This only would I learn of you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Why are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth or supplies to you the Spirit and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And scriptures, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles through faith, preached beforehand the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the books of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs not on a tree. That the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Amen. So midstream in the calendar year, as we think about Galatians, as we have moved from the event of Pentecost, the reception of the Spirit, the empowerment of the church. The church now moves forward in the Trinity of God, and they're preaching the gospel as we know in the book of Acts. And so here we have the Apostle Paul, having been to Galatia, the area of Galatia, and now heard that they are sliding back into the issue of legalism and following the law and the requirements that the Gentiles would have to subscribe and to adhere to the practices and the activities that was a part of legalism in the Old Testament. And so he's admonishing them, providing correction, telling them that this is where the errors lie, and he calls them foolish Galatians. Talk about foolish in the light of the book of Proverbs. Talks about foolish children who don't obey their parents, or foolish children who ignore the advice and the admonishment of someone who has been around a few more corners and down a few more roads than they. That's really what Paul's doing here. He's pointing out to them that he has presented to them the gospel. They had received it, accepted it, understood that the remission of sins was to be there by faith in Jesus Christ. And now they are falling away from obeying the truth. And he's using the word in the King James translation, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched, who has deceived you," to think that you have to fall back into these practices that were so much a part of Judaism alone. Not to be a requirement under the New Testament, the law of Christ. "Who has deceived you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth crucified among you." Under legalism, Old Testament practices were required, not optional. Not optional. You know, those that were Judaic in ethnicity and background, they could continue to uphold some of those practices as a matter of culture, but not as a practice of requirement of faith. And that's where the confusion comes. Legalism today, it takes different form, because we are all what would be called the Gentiles. But to set some requirement unto salvation of a person in action and deed and thought, other than that which is scriptural, as an add to that which is Christ, is legalism today. And it happens. And we see it. We need to recognize maybe that's the key for us in our life and our time. In essence, the New Testament truth is as follows. Man is justified by faith in Jesus Christ. Nothing more and nothing less. We are not sanctified by legalistic works. Our obedience comes or stems from the faith that God works in us. For him, through him, by the grace and power of Christ, and the work of the Holy Spirit. You know, we can have these nice synopses of how things work and what the core and essence of the gospel is, but it's so easy to want to add to that, or to do something in addition, as the Galatians were doing here. Back up one verse in verse 21 of the second chapter. "I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness came by the law, then Christ died in vain." Sometimes things in life frustrate us, don't they? Being honest with ourselves, things at work can frustrate us. Things in our community, things in our nation, things in our government system, things within our families, we can find it to be a source of frustration, because we have no way of changing it or no way of providing input that will bring some reasonable change or bring it back into how we feel is to be true to Christian perspective. And here he said, "I do not frustrate the grace of God." I'm not going to add to it. I'm not going to make something that is an addition to or would change what God's grace has given to me without anything that I do or would accomplish or can think. Because of righteousness, salvation, a right place before God came by the law, then Christ died in vain. It was of no effect. It had accomplished that which God had intended it to do. To bring salvation to fallen mankind without anything man had to offer or add to it. And so the Galatians were, if you were to take the converse to this, frustrating the grace of God in Paul's eyes. Because they felt righteousness could come, or in addition to the grace of God, was to be accomplished by upholding the law. "Christ has been set forth, crucified among you. So this only would I ask, or would I learn of you. I'm asking you, asking the Galatians, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" Step back for a moment and understand the source. How did you receive the Spirit? How did you receive the grace of God? How did you receive righteousness? Is it by your works or upholding the law that is being presented by man to you, by your fellow man, or by the hearing of faith, the word of faith? That's really the key attribute that exudes from all of the gospel. We are to follow Jesus Christ in faith. We are to hold faith in Him. We are to teach faith as the preeminent purpose of the church. Love being that mortar which binds the church together in faith. Are you so foolish? Two times he used this term foolish, trying to maybe get them to wake up to understand that what you're doing is really going against the grain and going against what has been taught. Have you begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? Begun in the Spirit. Journey started out quite well. You received the gospel. You received forgiveness of sins. You began a journey of faith in the Spirit, but now you're turning back to something that which is, in essence, attempting made perfect by the flesh. By action. By action or inaction. Things you do, things you don't do. Great amount of debate has ensued over the centuries of the church, over what is acceptable Christian practice, what is not. We can take a half a dozen topics and put it on the table, and there might be some vigorous debate and opinions about if that is okay to do or not to do. Matter of opinion, matter of culture. And here the Galatians were going back to do those things which Paul calls foolish. Because you're trying to make something perfect which cannot be made perfect by your action or your inaction. Have you suffered so many things in vain, if yet it be in vain? For he therefore that supplies to you the Spirit and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? There was this failing to be perceptive on behalf of the Galatians and failing to understand the power and the leading of the Holy Spirit. What caused them to obey the truth initially? I want them to go back to the source. When you first received the Spirit, you obeyed the truth because of the working of the Spirit in your heart. And now do you go to the law or to grace? Do you do works or faith? Do you follow the flesh or do you follow the Spirit? The word Spirit is used extensively in Galatians because he wants them to be reflective and turn back to that which is to be the source of their walk versus that which they were now being shackled back in. And the Spirit removes the shackles of man's opinion. The church is to be an extension today, a resource for extending God's grace, God's mercy, sharing the gospel of forgiveness. Man is justified by faith in Jesus Christ, nothing more, nothing less. And so he wants them to go back and think about Abraham. Verses 6 through 14, even as we go through the other chapter, Abraham's extensively discussed. Abraham is viewed as the original man of faith. By faith, Abraham, it tells us in Genesis, by faith, Abraham looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Reflected for us, or spoken for, to us, written for us in Hebrews. And so even as Abraham believed God, that was then put on his account for his righteousness. Abraham pulled up roots. Father of faith, faith of our fathers, as we will sing in the closing hymn. As we think of those who have exemplified, upheld, taught on the subject of faith. Those who would characterize themselves want to be remembered as preachers of faith, one who shared the importance of faith, one who gave the perspective of Scripture on the need for faith rather than for the need of the law. And so Abraham believed God. There's a key attribute. He believed God's promise. Otherwise, he wouldn't have left his home and his town and packed up his bags and left on a long journey. A lifelong journey from that point forward. He passed through the land of promise. He said, this will be given to your children and to your inheritance. It won't be yours. I will bring within your lineage, as he was now the beginning of the promise, the one who would come to provide a better way, the one who would provide for justification by faith, promise of Jesus Christ. Even as Abraham believed God, it was put on his account for righteousness. Put into his account. Placed to pay for his debt. He was given a vision, a perspective that the promise would come. Abraham, in thee shall all nations be blessed. We can go back to Genesis and read of all these promises made to Abraham and the reaffirmation of those promises. As he went through, as we know, he would fall. He laughed when the promise was given that he would have, he and his wife Sarah in their old age would have a son. Thinking in only natural ways, we're way beyond childbearing years. When he failed to trust God at times, Abraham showed his mortality. Yet he's still called a man of faith. He would heed his own thinking, as we oftentimes will do, in contrast to what the new man would want us to heed and to follow. But Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, put on his account. Real positive statement of Abraham here in verse 6. And so do you not know, therefore, that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Doesn't account or attribute the law to Abraham. Remember, the law didn't come until Moses, many generations down the road. Because of disobedience, because of the nation in their transit from Egypt to the promised land, being so willing to go backwards. Let's go back to Egypt. Things weren't so bad there. They're awful rough here out on the wilderness plain. Leading through the desert. It wasn't a land of milk and honey on the journey. The land of promise was that. We know of their first foray into the promised land. Good report came back. But fearfulness also upheld them, because in their own humanity, they said, we can't conquer those giants. We can't do the job. Not realizing who was taking them there. It wasn't their leadership. It wasn't Joshua and Caleb and the rest of the leaders. That was God that was taking them there. Yet that happened many years after Abraham came on the scene. And so he wants them to understand. He wants us to understand. Paul wants anyone who reads Galatians to understand the focus is to be that children of Abraham are those who are of faith, not of the law. And the scriptures, foreseeing that God would justify Gentiles through faith, preached beforehand the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. There's that foreknowledge. Abraham foreknew, Abraham saw at a distance, saw down the course of history and time as it would unfold in the generations to follow. The gospel. That's very interesting when you think about it. Scriptures, foreseeing that God would justify Gentiles through faith, preached beforehand the gospel unto Abraham. That's a very telling statement and a very telling verse, that the gospel was given to Abraham many generations before the gospel unfolded in the life of Jesus Christ. Because he told him, and these shall all nations of the world be blessed. You see, don't try to attain our goals through human endeavor or human effort. God gave us of his Spirit, works among us. That's not because we observe the law. It's because we are upheld by faith. Think of some of these practices of the Old Testament and of Judaism of that time. Circumcision for one. observances of days and of washing, ceremonial practices, traditions, laws, and regulations. Could fill a backpack with all of those activities that were now being turned back to by the Galatians. Consider and take note, Abraham believed God, Abraham followed him. The promises to Abraham in Genesis 12 were all-encompassing. Announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. Abraham will always be remembered, must always be remembered as a man of faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, he is prominently noted. Because in him, because of Jesus Christ, all nations are blessed. Promise in Genesis was all nations shall be blessed. We know looking backward, all nations today, all people that would believe are blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. That's the attribute, that's the focus that we should look at today. They which be of faith, the church today, the Christian church today is blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. As it is written, cursed is everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. A blessing, verse 9, a curse in verse 10. Because if there is one slip, there's one thing that is not done properly, then everything is null and void. And cursed is everyone that continues not in all things. There's no exception clause. When we think of a contract or we pull down some kind of contract online, there are a whole series of clauses that a lot of times help support the premise of that particular contract. We buy a vehicle, we are encouraged to read all the clauses. I don't know how many of us ever have. We kind of skim through it and go, okay, that looks pretty good when I sign. But there are a whole series of clauses that are there that have to be upheld. And if they are not upheld, the contract is abrogated, is null and void. It's been violated. And so the contract of the law is null and void if one thing is not upheld. And so that clearly points to the need for faith, because faith is the only thing which justifies us before God. By the just shall live by faith. It tells us in Romans, and also Paul tells us that here. It is evident. It is clear. No man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident. It is clear. Verse 11, a good one to have highlighted in our Bibles. For the just shall live by faith. Even church forefathers had to come to understand that. In the Reformation, as you think of in the month of October, as he celebrated, Luther had to come to grips with that as he tried to uphold everything and do. He even tried to perfectly repent of sin and confess sin. I think oftentimes that can be a real stumbling block, because I've got something more that I need to confess, so my confession will be perfect. Luther had to come to realize there will never be a perfect confession. There will always be something that we will stumble and fall at. The just shall live by faith. No man, all-inclusive, is justified by the law in the sight of God. Go back to the first verse and the third verse. So foolish Galatians, and are you so foolish that you would think that you could be justified by the law in the sight of God? All this tight, neatly and framed, is framed well together. No man can be justified by doing or not doing. The just, the righteous, American standard, the righteous shall live by faith. Or think of the present tense, the righteous do live by faith. You see, consider and follow the life of Abraham. The gospel given in advance to him, he relied on God's grace, he was led by the Spirit, He followed in faith. He was, even before Jesus Christ came, forgiven by the work of the Son of God, redeemed by his mercy. And so he's appealing to the Galatians to review and consider and to evaluate and think this through. And today, so clearly, the church needs to review, consider, evaluate, and think it through if that's where it's heading or that's what is being upheld. Can you pursue righteousness by your own works and refuse God's offer of grace? Try to work it out? Try to do something and refuse an offer of grace where there is nothing, no, there are no strings attached, there are no clauses? It's a very direct contract. God has sent his Son to this world. He has died upon the cross. In him you have the remission of your sins, the forgiveness that is offered, because I gave it to you as a contract of grace. And now, do you want to try and pursue it with some other means or some other perspective? Do you want to receive a blessing, or do you want to be under the curse of the law? Because the law has to be kept perfectly. Every clause, everything in the contract has to be upheld. And if one is violated, it's all null and void. God's blessings have never been earned. It's always been freely given. Freely given. Freely given to Abraham as the man of faith, as the one who had beforehand heard the gospel and been told all nations shall be blessed. And so those who are of faith are blessed along with faithful Abraham. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law because he was made a curse for us. It tells us in Deuteronomy, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, the cross. The cross of Calvary where he went that we might be saved and we be justified. And so as a result of this, the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. It doesn't say come on only those who were Jewish. It says on the Gentiles, which he's preaching to because the Galatians were considered heathen by those who were Jewish. The blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ as well. There was a core group of Jewish believers, the Gentiles, that went out to the Gentiles, that they might receive the blessing of Abraham. Abraham, blessing extended to all nations. Many seeds, as it tells us in Genesis chapter 12, reaffirmed in chapter 18, and again in Genesis chapter 22. It builds on and upholds from one portion of Scripture to the other. The blessings of Abraham have come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Romans 4 ties neatly back into this as well, as he speaks of the substance of faith, the need for faith, as he here admonishes the Galatians in particular, as he reflects upon this whole issue of faith as a core focus of his ministry, a core focus of Paul's missionary endeavors, as we think of those who within their lifetime went out into the mission fields and wanted to present and do to today, do as well today, bring of the substance of faith and this message of faith in Jesus Christ in the gospel. Not faith in the law, not activity, not substantive action, faith in Jesus Christ. Abraham is a father of faith, as we think of those who have exemplified faith for us, as we look over the course or reflect upon the course of our lifetime. Those who have been focused and wanted to bring the message of justification by faith that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Amen.